Well, I'm actually kind of I'm in awe this morning. I'm looking around because when I hear this, please don't hear that church is not coordinated, but we don't coordinate the messages that take place here on Sunday morning. So Kevin prepares his communion. Gary and the children's ministry prepare what's going on here. Somebody put color drawings inside of the bulletin for the kids, and the sermon we work on separately as well. But there seems to be a common theme going on this morning, because this morning I want to talk to you about Emmanuel, God with us. And I noticed that there's a flyer this morning that has that in the bulletin. I know that that was part of the message from the Chill Church. So it's just, it warms my heart to know that, you know, the same Holy Spirit that's speaking to me is speaking to all of us, and we have access to it. So there's unity in the body. So it's just reassuring to me that I'm not coming out of left field and I'm not out off base here, that that God is at work this morning, and this is a message that he has for all of us. So if you're here this morning, consider yourself lucky, because the Lord wants you to hear this message over and over and over again until you get it. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Okay. So I don't have a whole lot of time today, which I'm not complaining about, which is great. This is awesome. But I want to take a look at a couple of things. As I was studying this week, I really got hung up on this name Emmanuel and the concept of God with us. And I looked back at Isaiah chapter 9, which was on my notes somewhere here. Hang on. Somewhere. No? Yes? Sorry. How am I out of order already? I haven't even started. There we go. All right, Isaiah chapter 9, where it says, "For to us," this is verse 6, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And I think it was last year that I dove down into what those names mean to us. But this year, as I read that same passage, the Lord spoke to me differently, and I couldn't get past this, a son was given, right? Because in the past, as you read that, you think, you know, a child is born and a son was given. And just in my mind, because this is how it works, is, oh, God gave a son to Mary, and Joseph, this son was given. But the concept of God with us kind of changes that thought process a little bit. It's not a son was given to Mary, but simply the Son of God was given to us. Do you see the difference there? It's not that we received a son. It was that God himself gave his only son, right? And if you take that into correlation with John 3:16, that said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." This is the son that was given, right? Is Jesus Christ. But these are two separate things. A child was born and a son was given, meaning that the son existed before the child was born. And it's really easy to overlook that, and it's really easy to hang on to this this process of, oh, well, God gave his only son. But what does that mean to have the Son of God, Almighty, someone who is absent from time, somebody who is withdrawn from the physical restrictions that we are, to say that I'm going to lay down my divinity and I'm going to become fully human, and I am going to walk on earth, and I am going to minister, and I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die a death that he's not supposed to be subject to for you and for me, and the impact that that has, to think about that. So that's what the Lord was challenging me. That's what the Lord was working in my heart this week as I was studying. And that's what we're going to go through this morning. So let me see here. If you look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13, in this passage, Isaiah is bringing a message of hope to a Judean king because the nation is under attack by their enemies and they're fearing annihilation. And the Davidic king there and the Davidic line, which is the line of David, is in jeopardy, because if their enemies overtake turn them, they fear that their entire line is broken and there's no future. And Isaiah, in this situation, brings this prophecy, which is actually two parts with two promises. And the first part addresses the threat to David's line, right? And it is Isaiah announcing that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel. And this promise is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And we read that later on in Mark, which we'll get to Matthew, which we'll get to in a second. And the second part of that is about the enemies that are attacking them. But I'm not going to get into the second part of that prophecy this morning. We're just going to focus on the first part. We're going to leave it to Mike to eventually tell us where all of the prophecies of Isaiah have been fulfilled in the history of time. Doesn't that sound like a really cool series? I'm looking forward to it, Mike. So, okay. So here we go. Where's my notes? I'm sorry, guys. I'm scrambled today. I didn't put page numbers on anything. And my children were playing with these. So this is going to get really interesting. let's see. There we go. So Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right." So Emmanuel, kids, do you know what Emmanuel means? Do you remember? God with us. Attaboy. See, somebody was listening. Give that young man a round of applause. See, this child to be born is more than just a child, right? So as we were talking, when we look at Isaiah here, it was a child that was given. And why is that important to us? If you think about different religions and what they try and prove, they try and look at and try and make claims to these beings or these people that have divine power and divine in nature. Christianity is unique in that we're trying to explain how somebody who was divine in nature was fully human and walked among us. That's unique. We're not trying to prove the existence of God. The Bible doesn't prove the existence of God. That's one of my favorite lessons that I learned from Lanny Hubbard, was that the Bible doesn't prove that God exists. It simply states the existence of God. If you look at the very first chapter in Genesis, it said, "In the beginning, God." There's no explanation. And this is how we know it's true. It's just simply God exists. You have to start there. But in addition to that, Jesus Christ was given from God and was fully human. And he walked among us for his entire ministry. So this principle of Emmanuel, God with us, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 23, you see that when Adam saw Eve, who God created, he said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And she was fully human. In the same way, we think of this child that was given in that way. He was bone of our bone. He was flesh of our flesh. He was fully human. He had the same struggle. He walked the same life. He was tempted by sin like we were tempted by sin. He was fully human. And he did that. He did that by choice. It says that nobody could force him to lay down his life, but he gave it willingly for each and every one of us. Why would a God give up divine power? Why would he give up that ability and step into time? Why would he decide to put all of that aside to be here? Think about that. Think about the impact of that question. This is more than just a nice story. This is more than just we've got the Christmas season. You need to understand that the God who created heaven and earth, the God who separated light and darkness, the God who knows wrong from right, the God who created the mountains, the beautiful scenery, the things that we love, everything that is in existence was created by this God. And he laid that aside so that he could be born and so that he could come for one reason, for you and for me. It is the greatest act of love. I'm going to put aside everything that I am. I'm going to put aside everything that I have, and I'm going to step into time, and I'm going to step into a season. I'm going to subject myself to a life and to a death that is gory, that is painful, and I'm going to do that for my creation, whom I love, so that they can be restored to me. See, in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was separation that was created between us and God. We were cut off, and that's what we call inherent sin. We don't believe that we're under any kind of a curse anymore. Jesus Christ has come, and he's released us from all of that. But inherent sin, man is born, and there's separation when we are born between us and God because of what took place in the garden. Jesus said, no more. No more will creation be separated from its creator. There needs to be a way to bring them back. I'll go. Father, send me. I will go, and I will lay down my life, and I will be the one sacrifice so that they can have a way back to their creator. That's why Jesus came. That's why he stepped down. That's why we celebrate this Christmas season, and that's why he's Emmanuel, God with us. See, God loves you so very much that he is drawing you back to him from the very beginning. From the moment sin entered and that apple or that fruit was eaten and we were separated from God, he started an entire plan on how to return you back to him. It wasn't a second thought. It wasn't a plan B. It wasn't a what do we do now. God was hungry for you. He wanted to pursue you so much that he made promises. He made promises to David. He made promises to Abraham. He made promises through the generations so that we knew that there was hope and that hope would come into the world and reunite us back to the Creator. In this season that we celebrate Christmas, there's so much that goes on. We've got beautiful trees. We've got wonderful lights. We've got great movies that we watch. There's so many things that grab our attention. But the truth of the matter is this is the season where we set aside and we remember that hope came into the world. Our hope was given to us. And the message that I want you guys to walk away from this morning is not that, you know, Christmas is a time for you to be generous. Christmas is a time about family. All of that is true. But in the busyness of this season, I want you to remember that we are celebrating that God laid aside his divinity and came and said, I am going to be their Savior. Fully God, fully human, born in a manger, died on a cross for each and every one of us. This season can take your attention in many different ways. We can be looking at budgets. We can be looking at Christmas parties. We can be looking at all of the things that we need to do. But at the heart of it, if you're not remembering the greatest gift that was given to you, we're doing something wrong. So whether you're in Target, whether you're in church, whether you're at a family dinner, remember the focus. Remember what was given to you. And maybe the person sitting next to you, maybe the person around you doesn't know the gift that was given for them. And we have opportunity to share it. We are the light of the world, sitting on a hill. Nobody takes their light and covers it up, right? If you have that truth in you, if you have that light in you, let's let it shine. If I was a different person, I'd break into song right now. I'm withholding because I am that person. I just don't have that talent. But we need to make sure that we are not getting caught up in looking like everybody else in this season. We need to make sure that we are not downplaying what's going on. It's great to get involved in the Christmas spirit. It's great to get involved in the Christmas season and love the decorations and go to the parties. And Lord knows I love sugar cookies. Anybody here bake sugar cookies? You can send them to my house. That's fine. I don't mind. Praise Jesus. It's fun to take part in all of that. But the truth of it is Emmanuel, God with us. And here's where it is. As God walked and he was crucified and he died on that cross and he went into the grave and 3 days later he rose and he appeared and he showed himself to hundreds and hundreds of people. They saw him. And then he ascended into heaven. But when he ascended, he left us the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the end of Matthew, we talk about the Great Commission quite a bit. I know it's here. Hang on. Nope, I'm just going to go in my Bible because my sermon's a mess. Again, I apologize for that. This is Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to start at 19. And this is the Great Commission that says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." See, Matthew starts in chapter 1 talking about the angel who came to Mary, right? And he claims that he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And the chapter, or the book, the entire book, 28 chapters later, ends with the same message. I am with you always. That same Holy Spirit that coordinates the message that took place this morning from children's ministry to the bulletin, to the communion, to the message now. That Holy Spirit lives inside of all of us. It's our helper that was left behind so that we are not alone. That God with us is always with us. We are not abandoned. This is not something we remember from a season long, long ago. We remember his life. We remember his crucifixion and his resurrection. But that God is active and alive and living in each and every one of us. Those of you who understand that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he came and died on the cross for you, and you call him by name, you are saved and you are part of his church. Not the church, you're part of his church, his body, and he is the head. And he is always with you. You are not absent from him. Wherever you go, you take Jesus with you into that situation. Whatever family dinner you partake in this year, you take Jesus into that situation. Whatever grocery store line or shopping spree that you go on, Jesus goes with you into that situation. In this season where we remember that God was with us, let's look for opportunity to speak about the God that goes with us. Amen. I'm all over the place. This is a mess. I'm sorry, guys. Somewhere in here is what I'm supposed to do next. Yeah, we're just gonna go ahead and scrap that. My heart this morning is to share with you that there are so many things that draw your attention. There are so many things that distract us. And that's what they are. They're distractions. We can call it the busyness of the season. We can call it, well, we have to do this. We have to do that. The truth of the matter is God is begging for any piece of your life that he can get a hold of. If it's 3 minutes a day in prayer, if it's 2.5 minutes of just asking for his opinion on a situation, if it's reading his word, if it's anything, God is begging for you to realize that he goes with you. And to recognize the involvement of God in our daily life is what saves us. And what I mean by that is when we look to sin, when we look to, oh, nobody's watching, I can get away with this thing, or I can do this thing that nobody cares about, or nobody knows about this darkness in my life. And we act in the darkness because we feel like we can get away with it and there's no accountability. If you think about the sin that you have in your life, many of you are not doing that publicly on Sunday morning in front of all of us. If you are, we should probably talk about that. But that's not normally the case. But we do that because we're in a holy place. We're in a place where God exists, and this isn't the time for it. This isn't the time to use foul language out of our mouth. This isn't the time for telling lies. This isn't the time for, because you don't do that stuff in a church. My heart this morning is to tell you that you are that church. and to recognize that where you go, Jesus goes, and you are never alone. You are never in the darkness. You are never out of the sight of people who are going to see or know. God goes with you. God knows. God sees. And if you recognize that God is with you, it's an accountability to make sure that you're not stumbling and falling. Are you with me? I love that we have the access to God that we do. It's not this absent God who's just watching us walk through life, but he wants to know. He wants to know what you're going to have for breakfast. He wants to know what you're going to wear, what you're going to do in this conversation. God will be involved in your daily life as much as you allow him to be. As much as you allow him to be, he will be involved. We think, oh, well, I had this prayer time and, you know, it was kind of quiet. I didn't hear from the Lord. The Lord was there. If you're praying, if you are speaking to the Lord is listening. The Lord is hearing. If you're asking him to go with you in a situation, if you're asking him to be a part of you, God is with you. He is Emmanuel. And he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And this morning, I want us to go home with that message just written on our heart. God goes with you. He is our Emmanuel. He existed before the birth, and he exists long after the resurrection and death. Take him into the world and share him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. Lord, that you are with us in all situations. And we ask that you would help us be aware of your presence, that we would be aware of who you are in our life, and that we would have the boldness and the courage to share you with those around us, Father God. We ask that you would be with us in this season and that you would just pour out your peace over us, that we would not be overcome by the busyness, that we would not be overcome by the things that draw our attention, Lord God, but that we would set aside to remember that this is your season, that this is your birth, and that you are our gift. We thank you. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, the team that pray for healing be in this room for behind the green door. So please make your way over there. Otherwise, the elders be up front. We'll be happy to speak with you this morning. So go be a light to the world. Thanks, guys.